Get your Bibles out. Turn to the book of 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We're going to read verses 14 through 17 together responsively. First John chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. And we'll read this passage responsively. We'll pray. And folks, I think I'm going to get you out about 5 minutes early tonight, if everything works well. Depends on how well you listen and how well you amen.
Amen. Amen. Church is over.
I didn't tell you the more you amen, the longer the sermon gets. 1 John chapter 2. Not John, brother. All right. He's so busy, amen, and he can't find it in the Bible. He got so excited, he can't even figure out which book of the Bible it is. 1 John chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you, Holy Spirit of God. Lord, there's people here tonight, and there's no way one message from one person could fix everything. But one message from your word could apply to every person if you allowed the Holy Spirit to do his work. So help us to yield, help us to listen, help us to pay attention, help us to, Lord, help me to have your attention so that I say what you once said today, please, in Jesus' name, amen. We humans have complicated our lives with sin.
Amen.
We've complicated our lives with pride. And I'm going to start, I hate using the word philosophically because I don't think that's the right word, but we want to look and sound smart. We think that more complicated means more intelligent. Miss Ellen, we're going to have to pull that door shut just a bit more. They're not being bad. It's just I got to keep my own attention. I'd rather play with the toys too. We think that we're smart because we can make something sound complicated. We think something fancy is something better. May I say something? God said the most profound things are simple.
Yes.
God said the greatest things are that which are easiest to understand. Aren't you glad it's not hard to figure out how to eat?
Amen.
Do you ever watch a kid when they first learn to use a spoon and they can't hit the pie hole? You know, they got it up their nose and in their eye and in their hair. Once you finally figure out how to get that thing to the mouth, it sure does work, right, Adriana? Yeah, buddy. She hits it every time now. She doesn't miss. Now, wait a minute. The older I get, the more I see how simple things really are the deep things of life. Man thinks complicated equals deepness. God said simplicity equals deepness. The Bible, I hate to tell you this, really isn't that hard to understand. It really isn't. It was written at a third grade level, maybe a fourth grade in today's society. College graduate. It's sad. The Bible really isn't that hard to understand. And yet you have people that say, well, the Bible's so hard we have to rewrite it. You know, isn't it amazing? They call me shallow and they're the ones that have to have an easier Bible to understand.
You're right.
I have never yet figured out that criticism. You see, to the saved person, you have someone inside of you called the Holy Spirit that can teach you the Word of God.
That's right.
The moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit is what moves in. And the Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit works through the Word of God.
Amen.
He can't work outside of the bounds of the Word of God, or God is a liar.
That's right.
God has to be true to his own word.
That's right.
And the Holy Spirit is God. Therefore, he has to work with the word of God.
Amen.
Now, let me say this as kindly and as easily as I know how to say. The Holy Spirit is in you to keep the word of God alive in you and to keep the word alive in today's society. This is an ever-living word of God. Did you know this is the same words of God, if you read in Genesis, that were given to Adam and to Noah? Same words that were given to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? Same words in Exodus given to Moses? They weren't inspired just in the beginning. Because God is the I am God, they still are inspired.
Amen.
They are still the literal words of God. When Jesus fought at the Mount of Temptation, he said, Scripture says. He was quoting the Old Testament.
Yes, sir.
I was reading in Luke this week, and Jesus quotes Psalm 2. It says, doesn't it say in the second Psalm? Hello? They even knew which Psalm it was. Jesus actually, I think it was a book of Acts. I'm sorry, not Luke, it was Acts. It literally says in the second Psalm, I turned over to the second Psalm. I found that it was, I think, verse 6, that it was being quoted there in the book of Acts. Wow. That was thousands of years later. So the Bible is ever living. Now, we need to take the Bible as God wrote it, not as we want to. You see, it doesn't matter what we think. What did God say? I always, when I was growing up, got in trouble when I said, well, Dad, I thought you wanted, don't think, just do.
Right.
Oh, my soul, I've been told that 10,000 times. Don't think, just do. Yes, sir. The devil has tried to complicate the word of God. If you went to Genesis chapter 3, when Satan tempted Eve, he said, God didn't surely say that if you touch it, you should die. Now, wait a minute. God said, how does God speak? Through words. He was changing the word of God. He was changing the words of God. He was getting man to doubt what God said. He said, in the day thou eatest, you could be like God, knowing good and evil. You could decide right and wrong for yourself. You don't need God. You could be your own God. And since the day we sinned, we are guilty of the same sin Satan was guilty of in Isaiah 14. The very same sin.
Yep.
And what we struggle with is, am I God or is God God? Now, the devil really is not hard to figure out. I'm going to expose old smutty face tonight. This is going to be a fun one. Hang on. Amen. The devil is not like God in that God is all-knowing. The devil is not all-knowing.
That's right.
The devil is not everywhere all at one time. That's why he didn't put a nail in my tire this week and give you a flat tire last week and work on your vehicle the week before and you didn't stub your toe because the devil made you do it. You say, what happens? That's just life. The devil cannot be in more than one place at one time, just like you can't be in more than one place at one time. He is as limited by time and space as you are. Because he's an individual, he's not omnipresent. He's not everywhere all at one time. But I will say this, he's more powerful than you and I are.
Yes, sir.
We are no match for him. But may I say this, he's not as complicated to figure out as we really think he is. You see, truth is not hard to understand. I'm going to get into some deep things. You think you can handle this one, Elizabeth? 2 + 2 = what?
4.
Does that ever change?
No.
All right. Guess what? That's a truth. If I take 2 3x5 cards out, put them up here, and I add 2 more to them, and the 2 that are on the floor, how many cards do I have?
4.
All right. Yeah, because I got 2 on the floor, so that was 6. But that's 6 - 2, which equals 4. All right. Now, 2 + 2 = 4. That does not change. That is a truth. That's really not that hard of a concept to get. Did you know kindergartners and first graders can learn that? And they do. It's a little harder for a younger mind to get it, but those of us that have learned it, it doesn't change. Now, listen to this very carefully. God did not make truth hard because he knew how easy truth needed to be for man to understand it. The will of God is not some spooky mystery. God didn't make the will of God hard to understand. If he made it hard to understand, how could we live it? It's not something we have to search for all the time. It is something that is very open. And by the way, 98% of it's right there. That's the will of God. Right there. As long as you follow what that says, you say, well, I wonder if I'm in the right place. I'd rather be doing the right thing in the wrong place than in the wrong place doing the wrong thing. You can be in the wrong place doing the right thing, being okay. If God wanted me in Kalamazoo, Michigan, as a pastor instead of Martinsburg, West Virginia, guess what? Thank God's forgiven it because we're still seeing people saved and lives changed.
That's good.
I may have missed the city, but I'm doing the right thing. Now, I don't think I've missed either one, just so you know. But may I say, I'd rather be here and not in the exact place I think God may have wanted me and doing the right thing than being in Kalamazoo, Michigan, doing nothing. The place isn't the issue. The what is the issue. Now, watch this very carefully. God made the Bible easy to understand because it's truth. Man and religion and the devil have complicated the Bible.
That's right.
God did not.
You're right.
Did you ever notice how complicated religion is? Religion, by the way, church is not religion. Man's religion is complicated. Well, you got to light candles, and you got to go to confession, and you got to tell the Holy Father that dresses like a mama all the bad things you did, and you got to do this, and you got to buy beads, and you got to pray to the beads, and you got to pray to St. Mary, and pray through St. Luke, and how in the world you get St. John the Baptist in a Catholic church, I do not know, but they do. And you got to pray to the saints, and you got the holy this, and the holy Eucharist, and the holy cow, and all the other things. Man complicates it. And you've got all these procedures, and you got to stand, kneel, light this candle, light that candle, light incense. You got to have, you know, the incense pots and all the, Lord have mercy, we've complicated things. Jesus said, God said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hey, that's pretty simple.
Amen. That's good.
Religion is complicated. Look at the Muslim religion. You talk about complicated. You get into the Shintos and some of the other Eastern Asian religions. You talk about really wacky. And the Hindus, you know, you can't kill a flea because it could be great-great-grandma, and you don't want to do that because you get reincarnated into sub-beings afterwards, so you don't... Lord knows I killed a heap of family members in my life. I've shot a bunch of critters. Mm-hmm. Now, God does not speak in symbols and types. Man complicates the Bible by trying to say, well, brass is a symbol of judgment, and gold is a symbol of royalty, and purple is a symbol of this, and this is a symbol of that. And this is, unless God says this is a symbol of that, that's man. That's not God. It always amazes me. I've heard preachers preach sermons on what this person's name means. That person had nothing to do with what their name was, and it was given to them before they ever lived their life. How could that be a truth? I'm not going there. Man wants to appear intelligent. Well, let's teach all the types. And we'll show in the Bible how that if you went into the tabernacle, that the table of showbread is a picture of Jesus because he is the bread of life, and the golden candlestick is a picture of Jesus because he's the light of the world, and I could go on and on and on and on with all these crazy things. You know, the Bible never says anything about any of that. That's man made to sound intelligent. Do I think it's a bad or a wrong? I'd rather that than people just don't care. Gotcha on that. But God never said those things are true. So we can truly understand the Bible because it's simple. Man complicating it is man wanting to be God instead of letting God be God. Jesus nor any of the disciples ever preached an exegetical message in the Word of God. Find one sermon of Jesus where he exegeted the scriptures. I call it executing the scriptures. Lord, some of those folks, they got more degrees than temperature. They go down deep and come up dry. Every sermon Jesus ever preached, it was easy for people to understand. He used illustration. He preached on a topic. He preached to a fallen woman at a well, and he preached on water. He preached to hungry people and talked about bread and meat. Huh. Wonder why he did that. He was associating with what they understood and what they knew. It was the complicated people he got ticked off at. Matter of fact, 4 days before Calvary, he went in, made a whip, and chased them out. Kicked over their money tables. Everybody doing all right? I'm not going to kick any tables over at the county. So Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, not my denomination, my church, not my group of churches, my church. Now, tonight I want to show you how that the devil really only has three bullets in his gun. Devil has basically three bullets that he uses. That's it. He's got three shots. He's very good at what he does. And they're very big bullets. But he really only has three bullets in the chamber. Let me show you. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are the three bullets in the devil's chamber. First of all, the lust of the flesh. That is today's society of, this is what I want out of life. I get a little tired of saying, well, what do you want to do with your life? What does God want you to do? I don't think we ought to teach our young people to do what they want. I think we ought to teach them to do what God wants them to do.
That's good.
This is the sexual perversion and filth of our day. The lust of the flesh. The LGBT community. Everybody live how you want. Let's not have any marriage. Let's just all shack up. That has nothing to do with right and wrong. Look at the filth and the perversion of the music of today. Good night. If I preached as hard against the devil as the rap music does against God, I'd get put in jail.
Right.
I use the word sodomite for the LGBT community. Can I tell you why? Any other word I could go to jail over. Sodomite's a biblical word. And they hate that word more than any of them. They know what happened in Sodom. And it is a scriptural term, and it is a legal term that I use. That's why I don't use other terms with that. Everybody doing okay? Okay, I'm not looking at anybody, including myself.
Preaching.
This is the gluttony of America. Yeah, we went from preaching to middling real quick, didn't we? Mm-hmm. We want to eat ourselves into comfort. And then we're depressed over how big we are, and then we eat because we're depressed. And then we're depressed and we're discouraged, so we got to eat more to get comforted. And it just keeps a vicious circle, amen? This is the drug and booze society of today, the lust of the flesh. Alcohol flows like a river in America. Not only did FDR ruin us politically, but he ruined us by bringing back alcohol legalization. FDR did more to destroy our country than all of the other presidents combined.
Yes.
He did not spare America, he destroyed America. This is the dress like we want to or undress like we want to society of today. Now, folks, maybe I'm old. No comments. But I remember you didn't go outside in your pajamas.
Amen.
Now people go to the stores in their PJs.
Yes, sir.
And their slippers. I watched people get on airplanes in their pajamas. My wife and I flew to Miami and back, and people were in their PJs. I thought, Lord have mercy. If I'd have walked out of the house, other than maybe to the backyard where nobody could see me in the middle of the night, my dad would have whipped the fire out of me. Yeah. You just didn't go out in your PJs. It wasn't public knowledge, you know? Scott had Superman. He wore his underoos, amen? This is the fleshly music of today. Scott, your head's turning red. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. This is the fleshly music of today. You know, back in the 60s, people were upset over the Beatles. The Beatles, I hate to say it, are more conservative than the average Southern gospel group in America today. Everybody was outraged over the Beatles' haircut. Now, we have preachers that fill pulpits that have worse haircuts than that. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
I'm having fun right now. This is the lust of the flesh. This is the high-tech video imagery and entertainment of today. If it doesn't flash, move, bang, crash, and look like real life, then it's no good. And we're addicted to that kind of stuff because it appeals to our flesh. I remember getting my first video game. It was a little football game. Little plastic thing about that big, and it had a dot, and you did this, and it had about 6 or 7 dots that you fought against, and you wiggled through this thing end to end to end to end. We thought that was the greatest thing in the world. I remember when Atari came out, Pong. You remember that? Yeah, some of you old timers. Beep, beep, you know, beep, 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 beep. Yeah, buddy, you remember, you had one too. Yeah, but now, if the video graphics aren't real to life, the police departments and the thing and those that are security officials will tell you the most dangerous people in the world with a weapon are those that were trained on video games. They have no feeling, they have no emotion, they're used to the adrenaline rush, and they are a steadier shot because they're used to calming the adrenaline because of all the video games they played. If I get to the point where I go hunting and it loses its thrill, I'm done hunting.
Yeah.
Because then I become a killer. Everybody doing okay? Uh-huh. You ought to have a little bit of heart race to that thing because a little bit of that. Because when you lose that respect, you lose that. If it's just, oh, okay, it's done. No feeling. I'd worry about that. This is the buy now and get all I want now and worry about how to pay for it later. That's the lust of the flesh. The devil wants you to put your flesh above everything else. He wants you to put yourself above everything. God wants you to die to the flesh, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, Galatians 2:20. That means we are to die to our flesh and do what God wants. We're to put what we want on hold and do what God says.
That's good.
Number two, I got to hurry. The lust of the eyes. This is the advertising industry of today. I'll be honest with you. When my boys were little, I train my kids. My daughter will tell you, even today, every once in a while, she and I are in a car somewhere, she'll say, Daddy, eyes right. There must be a billboard somewhere. I don't look at billboards. You say, why? Because billboards are generally filthy. And I'm to the point, and I train my boys not to look at them, and I train my daughter and my wife, as we're driving somewhere, protect us. If you see something, tell us to look the other way. And that's how I reared my boys. You say why? Because the advertising of today is filthy. The average Sunday ads in the Sears and Roebuck catalog and JCPenney catalog is worse than Playboy was 50 years ago. This is the media of today. They don't report news, they make news. They show you what they want you to see. They don't give you all the facts. How many of you remember the Rodney King incident back about 25 years ago or so? Okay, I was out in Long Beach, California during that. Okay. My wife knows this couple. I don't remember her name, but his name was Danny Sneed. Danny was the chief detective for the Compton Police Department. Compton is not a good place. And Danny was the lead detective for Compton. He was a little black fella that was about this tall. He had 40-inch shoulders and a 28-inch waist. And he was stacked. I led Danny to Christ. I baptized him and his wife. My wife, it was my daughter's age almost. My wife taught their son in school. Well, when all that took place, of course, Compton was a big area of murder during the riots and everything else. And, oh, it was just on. And they were burning buildings 7 blocks from our house in Long Beach there. And, oh, yeah, it was exciting. We were choking on smoke for a week. I'd been through intersections, and less than 2 minutes after I had gotten through there, it was on the news that somebody was murdered there just after I went through on more than one occasion during those couple days. I was there. Danny said, you know what they showed you on the news, preacher? I said, yes, sir. He said, would you like to see the whole 7-minute video? Not the 43 seconds they showed everybody? I said, sure. He showed me the whole 7-plus-minute video. If you only knew what really took place, the only mistake the officers made was they let the guy live. I watched him take female officers, and I don't mean to be cruel, but he had stripped himself down from the waist down and was wiping his backside all over their faces. He'd been hit with tasers, 50,000 volts, 3 times, and he was laughing at them as he was taking police officers by the head and beating their head into the side of a police cruiser. Nothing affected him. Pepper spray. He was just laughing at them. He was so high on PCP. He was totally strung out. He felt nothing. They were trying to keep from killing the man. And yet, 4 officers went to prison over that. I listened to Mayor Bradley start the riots. I was coming back from a hospital because one of our deacons had a heart attack. It was about 12 o'clock at night. And I heard the mayor of L.A. start the riots. He said, this is the greatest misjustice on black people in America. It's time for us to know. It's time for us to do what we know to do. It's time to take to the streets and burn the buildings. I listened to him say those very words. I said, uh-oh, that doesn't sound real good. That was the mayor of L.A. Say, what is that? That's the lust of the eyes. It's the Hollywood of today, the lust of the eyes. It's the how we try to portray ourselves on the outward appearance. We got to have the flashy cars and the flashy clothes, and we got to have this and we got to have that just so that we can be in with everybody. Well, I hate to tell you, I don't want to keep up with the devil's crowd. I have no desire to keep up with those that are going to hell. Everybody doing okay? This is the impulsive, don't take this the wrong way if this applies to you, but this is the impulsiveness and the ADD philosophy of today. The overstimulation of the senses has created something what we call ADD, attention deficit disorder. But what we have done is we've overstimulated people to the point where everybody has to have that stimulation to keep their concentration. Good night. I move around just so I can keep people's attention. You say why? Because otherwise people get bored. People get, it's just not moving fast enough. It's why churches are going to all the video screens and all the flash and the bang and everything else that goes with it. We need to guard our eyes and what we allow our eyes to pour into our minds. Listen to this. If the devil can get you to look, he can get you to think. You see, if he can get you to look, he can get you to think. The devil pays attention to what you look at and he bombards you with it. Advertising tries to get you to look. If they can get you to look, it's in your mind. You're going to think about it. Everybody doing okay? All right, hang on. So we have the lust of the flesh, we have the lust of the eyes. Thirdly, we have the pride of life. Okay, now we're going to meddle. This is the boastfulness about how good you think you have it. And how good you think you are. This is the, look what I've got. Look at my house. Look at my car. Look at my truck. Look at my toys. Look at my gadgets. Don't look at mine. I'm homeless, amen? This is a boastfulness about, look at my position at work. Look how high up I'm going. Isn't it amazing? Everybody in a lower position knows how to run the higher positions better. It always amazes me how the guy at McDonald's running the French fryer knows how to run the McDonald's Corporation. I can't tell you that he'd do worse, but it just amazes me. You know, we think because we have this position that we can run everybody else's position. I got to hurry here. There's so much I want to stop and pull up and park and preach a while. This is the boastfulness about your intelligence and your education. Ouch. We have put a premium on education. I'd like to go to Miss Pelosi and all these bleeding heart liberals against guns and say this. You say the answer to everything is education. How about we bring gun education into our schools?
Amen.
Yes, sir. Learn
how to clean. If everything is about education, how come we don't educate about it? Guns don't kill people. People kill people.
Amen.
You can set a loaded gun right there as long as you want. It will not go off until somebody picks it up and pulls the trigger.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
Guaranteed. A gun by itself has never killed anybody. There are more people knifed to death in America than shot. Are we going to outlaw knives next?
They are in the UK.
Yeah, buddy. Now, wait a minute. We get so impressed with our intelligence. These are the people that say there was a big bang from a cataclysmic cosmic energy somewhere that they don't even know where it started from. That after millions of years, it cooled off. And there was one little blob that fell off that giant big bang that had water. They don't know where it came from, but it happened. And after millions of years, there was a single-celled amoeba in there that they don't know where it came from that got tired of being by itself, so it split into two. And those two were having so much fun that they had babies, and then they had 4, 5, 6, and 7. Then it came together and started swimming. Then it got tired of swimming, and it grew lungs and came up on the land. Grew legs so that it could walk, but its tail was getting in the way, so it lost its tail, and now it's teaching in the college. Now, that's about as much sense as what we call intelligent people. I hate to disappoint you. It takes more faith to believe the lie of evolution than it does that God created the heavens and the earth. I believe in education. I've educated a lot of people. I've been involved in Christian education for almost 30 years of my life. And if you count the time that I was in Christian education, I've been in it almost 40 years. I've taught at the grade school, junior high, high school, and college level. I have given people diplomas. I've given people college degrees. I have taught at all those levels. I've educated thousands of people. I believe in education. I think you ought to learn how to read, write, and do those things. Do you know what the original purpose of education in America was? So that people could read the Bible so they could become better citizens. You will not find public education anywhere in the Constitution. Beg to differ with the government. Government schools were never in the Constitution. It's not the government's job. It's the church and the home to educate people.
Amen.
Do you know who the first president was that wasn't educated at home or in a one-room schoolhouse? FDR. Moving on. This is the boastful approach to, well, that person doesn't have as much authority as I have. That police officer can't tell me what to do. Just because they have a position doesn't mean I have to do it. We get this authority battle going on. Everybody doing okay? I put myself on a clock here. This is the boastful competitiveness that we have in our society today. That everything's a competition. You know, I'm in no competition with any other church, Brother Wiley.
Amen.
I'm not trying to compete with anybody. We don't publish our numbers anywhere. We're here to build a church, do it God's way, and let God take the credit for it.
That's good. That's good.
My phone buzzed all afternoon. We had visitors here. We had visitors here. We had this many visitors and this many people saved. We had Vacation Bible School this week and had this many people saved and had this many in the baptized from Vacation Bible School at church. I couldn't tell you the attendance of one of my friends' churches. We don't talk about attendance. We talk about what God's blessing.
Amen.
Josh texted me and Brother Provost texted me and Dustin down in Miami said, we had 12 visitors today. Dustin said, I had 3 visitors in my teen department, and 1 got saved and walked the aisle today.
Amen.
Well, good night. I went down there and tried to kick them in the britches and pump them up and get them excited. Now they got the thing rolling. And they are just coming unscrewed down in Miami. Thank God. I couldn't tell you how many they had in church, though. I don't care. They're excited, and they're doing things for God. That's what it's all about. You know, we're not supposed to compete with other churches. We're not supposed to compete with each other at home. It's not whether I know more than my wife knows. She's going to know more about things that I know in some areas. And I'm going to know some things about some things in areas she doesn't. I'm supposed to know more than my daughter. I'm older than her. But she'll know more about some things than I know. She couldn't get my truck started today. I said, Brother Mike there? Yeah, have Brother Mike get in. Brother Mike, this is what's wrong with my truck till they fix it. Can you do this? Yep, got it started, preacher. It's okay. Here she goes. Just took a man's touch. She couldn't figure it out. I'm not mad at her. I just want to make sure if Brother Mike was there, because Brother Mike started enough trucks in his life, he knew exactly what it was. Yeah, buddy. I wasn't going there, amen. I'm not the Pope. Don't confess to me, amen.
One way to skin a cat.
You know, we're not even to compete with each other at work. It's not a matter of who can do the most or do the best. Are you doing your job? Are you showing up on time, doing what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to do it, where you're supposed to do it? I got to finish. The devil really only has 3 bullets in his gun. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. By the way, if you go back a couple weeks ago, I preached a whole sermon on what was so serious about the temptation of Jesus. You go back to that, you find out those are the 3 bullets the devil shot. Lust of the flesh, turn stones into bread. Lust of the eyes, see all the kingdoms of the world. Lust of the pride of life, jump off the pinnacle of the temple and have the devil or have the angels obey you. That's authority. Those were the 3 bullets he shot. Because those are the only 3 bullets he got. And I imagine when Jesus was done, he said, is that all the better you can shoot? Your gun's empty. Mine's just still full. And it just keeps filling up every shot I take. You see, the devil is no match for God, but you're no match for the devil. But maybe you're a little wiser because of it. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I don't have to ask this question, I will. Because probably every one of us were affected by some area of the sermon. But who'd say, preacher, that was for me tonight. Would you raise your hand, oh my soul? Dozens and dozens of hands. In a moment, you can put your hands down. The piano begin to play. As the piano begins to play, if you need to use the altar, you come. If you can't get to the altar, you just like to stay in your seat and pray, you may.